For this evening's reading, let's turn again to the book of Isaiah and read from chapter 43, the first 21 verses. These are the words of the Lord God, and it's speaking of the redemption of Israel, and redemption actually for all mankind that believe on him. But now thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth a chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I'd like to end there. The Bible is a story of redemption, a story where we learn that because there was sin, the earth was cursed, and yet there was a way of salvation even through that curse that was upon this earth. Adam and Eve had sinned, and that sin of disobedience that they had committed brought forth death. The result of sin is always death, and a price had to be paid for that sin. Throughout our lifetimes, not only in Adam and Eve, but even throughout our lifetime, we have incurred a great debt of sin. And that sin, likewise, brings forth death. There are no exemptions. The penalty and the price for sin is death. But here we have a story in Isaiah here, chapter 43, a story of redemption, a story where God here is speaking to all those who would believe in him and who would be born again, that there is redemption. We are able to be saved from our sin, saved from the curse of sin, saved from that which sin brings about, death. And so thanks be to God for this way of salvation that he has planned. We know that sin is ugly, and that sin is something that destroys lives, the quality of life, and the condemnation then that comes upon such a soul that is in sin. But we can have redemption. And so in Isaiah chapter 59, it speaks of what separates us from God. He says here, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." This is what sin does. It separates us from God. And so when anyone is separated from God, that equates to death. That's the punishment, and that's the penalty for sin, is death, at separation from God. In the New Testament, we read in Romans, "As by one man, being Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We all have sinned. Again, there are no exemptions. We all have sinned. And the penalty for that sin is that death would be passed upon all men. This is that penalty for sin. Death passed upon all men. But we have redemption. We have redemption through what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And so he begins, this chapter here begins, and the Lord speaking to us, to the children of Israel, and to us, saying, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." This is what God is saying. And to us who have been born again, this is what God is saying to us as well, as he said here to the children of Israel. He says, "I have redeemed thee." It's a story of redemption, of taking away the debt that had to be paid. He says, "I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." And God says, "Thou art mine." And we read that throughout this chapter here, that we are God's possession. We are his. We belong to him. And he says that here over and over. He says, "Thou art mine." And he calls himself our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, and that we would be his people. And so he says that he'll be with us. And he says here in verse number 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee." He gave others away that he might receive us. "Since thou wast precious in my sight and hast been honorable, I have loved thee." And we have experienced that love of God. We have experienced that he had sent Jesus here upon this earth. He parted with his only begotten Son and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love that God had for us when he says, "I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." He says, fear not, I am with thee. And he says, he'll gather us all together. And he says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God is saying here that he has made us. He made Israel, and he made us. He made us new. He made us when he said, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a man cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven except he be born again. Born again, being made new, a new creature, being made new. And that's what he's saying here, that I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him, God says. And the Bible also says in the New Testament, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. We are created new. And here God is saying, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God made us. God made us new. God made us in his image. God imparted and embedded the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, that the King of Spirits, the Holy Spirit, would dwell within us, and that other subjects, other spirits would be subject to the Holy Spirit. And so we are his possession, and he's making that very clear here in this chapter, and that we are redeemed. And what God has is good. What God has is life. And that's what God made us. He made us to have life. And God made us to be good. His goodness dwelling within us. And so he's calling Israel to witness that there were no other gods. Those gods that they had seen in the nations there round about them, they were no gods. And he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. God's making that very clear. The prophet, the gods of Baal and all the other gods, they are no gods. They can't save. They can't speak. And so he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Israel could witness to that. Israel could see the plagues that came upon Egypt. Israel could see the parting of the Red Sea. Israel could see the manna that came from heaven. Israel could see the pillar of cloud and fire. Israel could see the provision of God, and they could witness and testify to these things. No different for us. We can witness and testify of the goodness of God toward us, in that he had sent Jesus Christ for us, that as we would believe in him, as we would become new creatures alive in Jesus Christ, as we would be born again, living for him, having his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that we are witnesses of what God has done and of his goodness that he has toward all mankind. Truly, we can rejoice and speak of that with great joy and with praise toward him, because God has been so good to us when we deserved it not, when he found us in our sin, and he embedded into us his Holy Spirit. And so we witness to that. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it? God is saying, what I do, who can change it? If God brings forth light, who can bring darkness? If God makes alive, who can kill it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. And so he's testifying here that he took care of those that were their captors as they were in captivity in Babylon and among the Chaldeans. And he says how he brought them down and made them to be nothing. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And so we can truly testify that as we have surrendered our life to the Lord, that he is our king. He is our king. We are in his kingdom. We labor for him. We are his subjects. We do what he would have us to do. And we are thankful for that opportunity because we have a good master, a good Lord, a good king who loves us, who cares for us, who provides for us, grants us grace, grants us mercy, grants us strength, gives us of all his goodness. We rejoice in calling God our king. And so he speaks of how he brought their armies and their powers and the chariots and the horses and how he brought them to nothing. And he says, and don't even remember those old things. Don't even remember what happened there in Babylon, of how you were subject and how you were suppressed and brought into captivity. But now I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And he continues, and the beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. God is saying, you are mine. You are mine. You are my people. You are my chosen. He says, in a couple chapters later, God says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Is that possible? God says, yea, they may forget, but yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. This is what God has done for us. We are his. He has engraved us into the palms of his hand. He is saying, you are my people. You are my chosen. I have redeemed you. You belong to me. This is the story of redemption. And he has done this through Jesus Christ. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This is what God has done for us. And so again, going to the New Testament, we can read of this truth and of what God has done for all of us through Jesus Christ. In Galatians we read, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is what Christ did when he came here upon this earth. The sole objective of Jesus Christ coming here upon this earth is to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came here, was to save that which was lost, because the Bible is a story of redemption, and he came to save that which is lost. And so the Bible here in Galatians is saying, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from that curse that where sin was, death had to be there. And there was that separation from God. And when something is separated from God, it is dead. And so Christ has redeemed us. There's this redemption for us from the curse of the law, he being made a curse for us. And so there was an exchange that took place. We gave our sin to Jesus Christ, and he took that curse and hung upon a cross. And then he gave unto us of his righteousness. This is the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. When we are born again, when we are a new creature in Jesus Christ, we give him our sin, and he gives unto us his righteousness. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This redemption that we have goes far beyond simply this life. Christ didn't leave heaven, come here upon this earth, be born in a manger, be ridiculed, not honored by his own in Nazareth, to be mocked, to hang on a cross, and to die and then to raise again. He didn't do that all so that we might have an earthly kingdom, so that we might have wealth and health and power. Christ died on a cross to give us an eternal kingdom, that we might be a part of that eternal realm. This song that we sang here in the beginning speaks to this well. In verse number 4, where we sang, "There the Savior took thy many sins with him upon the cross. Silently and without any due reproach, he suffered loss. There he won for me and thee joy, life and joy eternally." This is what Jesus did for us, that we might have life and joy eternally, not that we would have some earthly kingdom here upon this earth. When the two that were on the way to Emmaus and Jesus in his risen state was walking with them, the two from Emmaus were speaking to Jesus, and they said, they were saying about Jesus, of all the things that transpired there in Jerusalem, and they said, "And we trusted that it was he that would redeem Israel." They thought it was Jesus, that he would become their king, and that they could get their kingdom back from the Roman Empire. That was the redemption that they were looking for. "We trusted that it was he that would redeem Israel." And even the apostles, just before Christ ascended, the apostles asked Jesus, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" It wasn't about an earthly kingdom that he came to redeem us. He came to redeem us for an eternal kingdom, an eternal redemption, something far, far more valuable. And Zacharias knew this, the father of John the Baptist, because when he was mute, and then John the Baptist was born, and then when he was able to speak again, the first words out of his mouth was this: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." This is what Jesus Christ came. He came to visit us and to come here upon this earth and to redeem us. This is the story of redemption. This is the story of taking away that debt that was incurred because of our sin, the sin of mankind, and all the curse that came with that debt. And Christ came to redeem us, to take away that curse. He took it upon himself, all that sin, and he gave unto us righteousness. The story of redemption, saving us from the curse of sin. This is what Jesus Christ came to do here upon this earth. The songwriter captured it well when he said, "Gone is all my debt of sin. A great change is brought within. And to live I now begin, risen from the fall. Yet the debt I did not pay, someone died for me one day. Sweeping all the debt away, Jesus paid it all." Jesus paid it all that we might live. This is the story of redemption. Where is boasting? The Bible says it's excluded. It's a gift from God. He has given it unto us, that he gave us the grace to repent. He gave us the grace to believe in him. He gave us the grace to trust and have that faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He gave us grace to live by the Holy Spirit. He has given unto us these great gifts. This is the story of redemption. This is the life that God wants us to live. He wants us to remember that we are engraven on the palms of his hands. We are his. He formed us. He created us. And so in heaven, when there was a book with seven seals and there was a wonder of who would be able to be worthy to open that book, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings, because he was worthy." And it says that they sang a new song, and it says that, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, because he has redeemed us to God by his blood. Jesus fulfilled God's plan in that redemption for our souls, that we might have that eternal salvation. And so let's remember these words that are in the first verse of this reading that we had this evening, where God says and speaks to each and every one of us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Amen.
Interesting that Isaiah wrote this many, many years before Christ came, and yet he recognized and acknowledged the fact that God redeemed us. And so we see, and then to have that re-fortified and strengthened in our faith, we can read in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So, to re-strengthen our faith and are encouraged to walk this way, to be assured of our trust in the Lord is not in vain, that we can realize that if we live after the Spirit, we can be assured that we will live with him through all eternity, because he has redeemed us. Amen.